Psalm 119, beginning in verse 137. Psalm 119, verses 137 through 144. This is the 18th stanza of the 22 stanzas in Psalm 119, which means we only have four more left after tonight. We want to look at this section. Verse 137. Righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgments. Thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful. My zeal hath consumed me, because mine enemies have forgotten thy words. Thy word is very pure. Therefore thy servant loveth it. I am small and despised, yet do not I forget thy precepts. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth. Trouble and anguish have taken hold on me, yet thy commandments are my delights. The righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live. What is the word that keeps repeating itself in these eight verses? Did you see it? Righteousness. So we want to talk about the righteousness of God's word. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, your blessings. We pray, God, that you would help us tonight as we look into your word in a little bit more detail, that you would bless us with your presence, that you would speak to us through your word, that as the psalmist here prays, that you would grant us understanding, seeing that your word is that which sustains us and strengthens us and satisfies us. We pray, God, that you would use the psalmist in this psalm to encourage us to be more exposed to your word, the preaching, reading, studying, reading other things that would help us to understand the word. Just help us to be consumed with the word of God and your voice to us. I pray that that would be true of all that hear your word tonight. In Christ's name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, we have been looking at the word of God, speaking about the word of God in Psalm 119. It has been a good study, showing us the importance and the necessity of the word of God in the life of the believer. And I would say tonight that we ignore the word of God, whether it's preached, whether it's taught, whether it's read or studied. If we ignore the word of God, we do it at our own peril. We are the losers if we neglect the word of God. One of the attributes of God is his righteousness. God is righteous. And righteousness means that God always acts in accordance to what is right. God always does that which is right. It means that God is always the standard of what is right. God's righteousness and God's justice are closely related. So everything that God does and everything that God says is right or righteous. Or we could put it negatively. Nothing God says and nothing God does is unrighteous or wrong. What that means is that right and wrong are not determined by culture. Right and wrong is not determined by the United States Supreme Court. Right and wrong is not determined by men. Right and wrong is determined by the standard that is God. And God has recorded His standard for us in His Word so that we may know, not that we may determine, but we may know what is right and what is wrong according to the standard that God has set forth. So God determines right and wrong, right? It is God who determines what is right, what is wrong, because God is the standard, not us. And what that means is that everything here and everything in the life to come will all be measured by the righteousness that is found in God alone. And God is absolutely perfect, and He will only deal with His creation from the aspect of His righteousness. If God allows us into heaven by the sacrifice of His Son on the cross in our place, He will be right in doing so. And if He casts people into hell because of their unbelief, He will be right in doing that as well. Everything God does, everything God says, is right. Because God is right. Now, I want you to see here this declaration that the psalmist makes in verse number 137. These verses are sort of bookended with an opening, 137, a closing, 144, and then the middle here. So verse 137 is a declaration. And what he declares is that God Himself is righteous. Righteous art thou, O Lord. And if God is righteous in Himself, then what He records for us, what He says that is recorded in the Scriptures, would also be upright or righteous as well. Amen? So the declaration here is God is righteous and His Word is righteous. That means several things. And so what the psalmist does is he begins to describe these particular aspects of the Word that make the Word righteous. Notice six of them tonight, quickly. Number one, verse 138, thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful. Number one, the Word is righteous because the Word is exceedingly faithful. The Word is exceedingly faithful. That's how the psalmist puts it here. Thy testimony, thy Word that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful. Now what does it mean that the Word is faithful? Well, I think it means that whatever God has commanded in His Word will all be faithfully executed by God. Nothing commanded in the Word will not be executed. All will be done. His threats of judgment are not idle threats. God is not the mother in the grocery store telling the kid, if you don't stop, I'm going to whip you. One more time and I'm going to whip you. That's not God. God threatens us with judgment, and it's not an idle threat. Every promise, every expression of grace, everything in the Word of God will come to pass by the power of God. His blessings, His punishments will all faithfully come to pass. Whatever God's Word says will happen exactly the way God said it will, and it cannot be otherwise, or else God is not righteous. What the Bible says will happen just as God says, and that means all of it. So as the Word of God says this, the Word is faithful to that. It is exceedingly faithful, very faithful. Therefore, it is righteous or right. Notice number two. Not only is the Word exceedingly faithful, but in verse 139 the psalmist says, "My zeal hath consumed me because mine enemies have forgotten thy word." So the Word is righteous because it is exceedingly faithful, and the Word is righteous because it evokes passion. Now, notice what the psalmist says. I want you to get this part. The psalmist says, well, let me stop there for just a second. How many believe that the Word of God is God's words? How many believe that it is the breath of God, His words? How many believe that it's all true? Every jot, every tittle. How many believe that it contains no errors? How many believe that, as the psalmist says here, the Word is righteous, you believe it is righteous as well? If we truly believe that, should we not have a passion for it? And let me explain what I mean. The psalmist says here that he has a zeal, or his zeal, his passion has consumed him. He has been overtaken. He has been engulfed and swallowed up by his zeal. Why? Because his enemies have forgotten God's word. Now, I'm here to tell you tonight, for those of us who believe the Word of God is true, inerrant, infallible, inspired, righteous, perfect, it ought to bother us when this precious Word of God is ignored, or when it's abandoned, or when it's misused. It ought to upset us that the Word of God is so flippantly handled. The Word of God is not Treasure Island by Louis Stevenson. Amen? It's not an ordinary book. We agreed. It's God's breath. It's God's Word. It's perfect. It's infallible. It's inspired. It's righteous. How can we just sit idly by with no emotions whatsoever that the Word is flippantly being used? Teachers and preachers should not take lightly the handling of the Word of God, trying to make it say what they want it to say. There are preachers who kidnap the Word of God, shove it in their trunk, and take it where the Word of God never intended to go. That should bother us. If we have a zeal because the Word of God is faithful and righteous, should it not bother us that the Word of God is so haphazardly handled? May God ignite our hearts with passion and zeal for the Word of God, so that we may say to those who may handle it flippantly, That's not how you handle God's Word. That's not what God's Word says. That's not what God's Word is teaching. Please don't handle the Word of God in such a careless way. The psalmist says, "My zeal has consumed me." Why? Because my enemies have forgotten your words. They've abandoned your words. God's word is righteous, and it is not to be watered down for the pleasure of men. The word of God is righteous because when you read it and you love it, it evokes this passion. Number 3, verse 140. Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. The psalmist says, the word of God is righteous because it is exceedingly faithful. It is righteous because it evokes passion. Thirdly, it is righteous because the word is entirely pure. If you take the Bible and you test it, I saw this church sign. You know, churches shouldn't put signs out. I saw this church sign. I don't know where we were, but this is what it said. You've tried everything else. Try God. When you've tried everything else, you might as well try God and give Him a shot. Listen, if you take the Word of God and you test it, or you prove it, what you will discover is that it is pure. What I mean by that is this: there is no dross or no impurities in the Word of God. You can put it under the most hottest heat you can, and it will not show one bit of dross or impurity. It is absolutely perfect. There is not one blemish. There is not one contradiction. There is not one error in the Word of God. None. It is without sin in its content. It's without sin in its recording. It is pure, therefore, if a pure word that you read, what will it do? It will purify those who read it, those who study it, those who hear it. The psalmist says that it is the purity of God that causes him to love it. The purity of this word, the purity of God, that's why he loves it. The word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. Because it is without blemish, he loves it. Because it is without error, he loves it. Because it is without contradiction, he loves it. And therefore, all that the Word declares is to be embraced. Now understand this. If we say that the entirety of the Word is pure, without error, without impurities, then doesn't it also follow that we have to embrace all of the Word? If it's all pure, if it's all true, if it's all without error, then we have to embrace all of the Word of God. We have to love all of the Word of God. We are so guilty of treating the Bible like a cafeteria lunch line, going through and picking what we want and not picking what we don't, loving what we like and not loving what we don't like. But if the entire Bible is pure and true, aren't we to embrace it all? The psalmist here makes no apologies for anything in the Word of God. None. Why does he not make any apologies for the Word of God? Because it is entirely pure. Amen? The Word is entirely pure. Notice number 4, verse 141. He says, I am small and despised, yet do not I forget thy precepts. Fourthly, the word is extremely profound. Extremely profound. The psalmist here says that he is small, or that word means insignificant. I think he's saying that he lacks any kind of greatness. Or, if you put him in a room full of people, he would not be the most knowledgeable person in the room. He would not be the most experienced person in the room. He would not be the most educated person in the room. And he would not be the most privileged person in the room. He's small. Insignificant, despised. He is opposed and persecuted. He is restricted in what he can do and where he can go. But what he says here, although he is not the most knowledgeable or the most experienced or the most educated or the most privileged, he does not forget the word. And the word that he has is profound. Matter of fact, I would say this. He could get no better education than the education he would get from the word. You with me? He could have no better teacher than God himself. He could gain no greater status than to be a student of the word. Somebody help me. He could get no better advice for any decisions he makes than from the Word of God. He could have no better counselor than the Word. He could get no better experience than studying those people who have experienced things in the Word of God. And he could get no better knowledge than the knowledge of God himself. I may not be the most educated. I may not be the smartest. I may not be the most privileged or the most experienced, but I have the Word of God. And I don't forget its words. It is profound. I don't forget God's words. It is the Word of God that sustains us, strengthens us, and encourages us, and helps us. We better make sure that we are educated in it as well, amen, as everything else. Number 5, verse 142. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth. So the psalmist here says, the Word of God is righteous because it is exceedingly faithful, because it evokes passion, because it is entirely pure, because it is extremely profound, and fifthly, because it is eternally unchangeable. Are you aware that the Word never changes? You understand that the Word of God is written in basically two languages, right? Some Aramaic, but basically Hebrew and Greek. And you understand that those two languages are dead. They don't change. The Word of God doesn't change. What do I mean by that? Well, here's what I mean by that. What was right in the Bible is still right. Somebody help me. What was wrong in the Bible is still wrong. Somebody help me. What is right will always be right. What is wrong will always be wrong. The Word of God doesn't change with the changing opinions of men. I was talking to somebody about football this morning. University of Texas has a football coach that the papers are saying that the big donors are pressuring the president of, or the athletic director, or whoever, to fire him and hire somebody else. Well, about a month ago, they weren't so hot on this new prospect of a coach because he had lost a Southern Methodist and he had lost to somebody else. So they weren't too hot on that, but he just had beaten Louisville. And now they're back on his bandwagon. You see, that's the problem. We are so fickle. We are so up and so down. We are so in, so out. We are so off the bandwagon, then on the bandwagon. Do you understand how much change there would be to God's Word if it was up to us? We'd be like a bunch of Catholics. Somebody help me. Can you eat fish or not eat fish on Friday? I don't know! Right? But you understand, the Pope can change church tradition. Right? We don't change the Word of God. It is forever unchangeable. The Word of God does not change with the opinions of men, or it doesn't change with the various cultures that it finds itself in, or it doesn't change with time. What was right in the day of the psalmist in Israel is right today, 2016, in Pickens, South Carolina. It is the immutable Word. It never needs updated. It never needs amended. It is everlasting. It is true. It never has to be adjusted. Our interpretation of it may be faulty and need changed, but the Word of God never changes. And it never changes. Why? Because it is true, and because it is righteous, and because it is the breath of the righteous God. It does not just simply contain truth. It is truth. Why does the psalmist think that the Word of God is righteous? Because it never changes. Amen? Say amen. It doesn't change. And guess what? If God were to choose not to come back for 1,000 years in the future, guess what? The same Word you hold in your hands tonight would be the same. Amen? It doesn't. Why would it need to change? If it's God's Word and God is perfect and righteous, why would it need to be changed? Did God make a mistake? Did God misspeak? No. It's unchangeable. Amen? Notice number 6. And we are done. Verse 143. Trouble and anguish have taken hold on me. Yet thy commandments are my what? Delights. The Word of God is righteous because it is emotionally delightful. Now the psalmist here says that he has some inward troubles, inward anguish, and they have taken hold on him. You know, there are things on this earth that we enjoy or we find delight in that we may not find delight in if they're taken away or if they diminish in their delightful qualities, right? And so whatever has delighted him on an earthly level, on a physical level, is now trouble and anguish. Have you ever just had days where everything seemed to be going wrong and you thought it couldn't get worse except that it did? And inside your heart, inside your soul, all you felt was trouble and anguish. You could find no delight in anything on earth. And yet, the psalmist says, in the trouble, in the anguish, in the problems, he yet finds delight in the Word. No matter how undelightful this life or this world may be, no matter how much trouble or anguish we have to go through here, we will always find delight in the midst of that trouble, in the midst of that anguish, in the Word. Amen? How do we find delight in a painful existence in this world? It is in the Word. The Word is the believer's delight. It is in the Word that he reads that God has planned for his people a better place. Say amen. God has prepared for his people a better time and a better life. That's where the psalmist finds those truths, that this world is not his home. His home is with the Lord. His home is somewhere else. His future is not wrapped up here in this world. He has a hope that is beyond this life. He has a hope that is beyond all the troubles of this life. He has a hope beyond all the anguish of this life. He has a hope beyond all the undelightful stuff in this life. Where does he find his delight? In the Word. And it is in the Word that his mind and his eyes are taken off this life and these problems and put on eternity and on his God. I'm here to tell you, when you've reached rock bottom, reach for the Word. That's where you find your delight. And understand this, every delight we try to find on this earth is fleeting. We're always chasing these delights. Just pick up the Word of God. It is delightful every time you read it. Then notice the close. He has declared the Word of God and God to be righteous. He has described the reasons why he has found and concluded that the Word of God is righteous. And then in verse number 144, he shares his desire. He says, the righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live. God is righteous. His Word is righteous. His Word is righteous because it is exceedingly faithful. It evokes passion. It is entirely pure. It is extremely profound. It is eternally unchanging. It is emotionally delightful. Then his desire is what? Help me understand more. I talk to people who I think they think that they have mastered the Bible. That they have worked their way systematically through, and they're doctrinally and scripturally, they've mastered it all. I'm here to tell you, you've mastered nothing. Matter of fact, I would guess that this psalmist, whoever he was, who may not have been the smartest or the most educated or any of that, but I would dare say there were few people that had the knowledge of the Word of God that this psalmist had. I want to say that this psalmist was head and shoulders above everyone else in his knowledge and understanding of the Word of God. And yet, this psalmist says, give me understanding. You see, his desire is that God would give him a better and a deeper understanding of God's righteousness and God's Word. And he knows that understanding God's Word will sustain him in this life and the life to come. Give me understanding and I shall live. As complimentary as he is of the Word of God, as much as he has come to understand the Word of God, as much as the Word of God he knows, and as much of the doctrines of the Word of God he knows, as much of God as he knows, as much of himself as he knows from the Word of God, he realizes that he's only scratched the surface. He's only scratched the surface of the extraordinary Word of God, and he desires to know more of God. He desires to know more of His commands, more of His judgments, more of His law, more of His testimonies, and more of His precepts. God, Your Word is righteous. You are righteous. It's pure. It's perfect. It's unchanging. I need to know more. You know, I don't read anything else but books on Scripture, books on the Bible, and I'm reading those all every day of my existence. I'm reading something, and you know what? The more I read, the more I study, the more I look into the Word of God, the more I figure out that how much, not that I know, how much I don't know. If God's Word is righteous, and God is righteous, and it is pure, and it is unchangeable, and it is delightful, and it is profound, and it is pure and faithful, why would I not say, Lord, give me more understanding of it? Help me understand more. Help me comprehend more. Show me You to a greater degree. Show me to a greater or lesser degree. Show me more in the Word of God. Help me understand the Word of God. Why? Because a better understanding of God's book means a better life lived for the glory of God. You see, there's more to this than read the Bible one chapter a day, read the Bible through in a year. There's more. There's so much benefit for each of you and me if we will just dive into the Word. Amen? There is delight and help and strength there. And we pray, God, give me understanding. Right? That's my first prayer. God, show me what this says. Because I'm not smart enough to figure it out. Right? Let me help you. You're not smart enough to figure it out either. If you, as a man, think you can figure out God, have at it. The Word of God is taught to us by whom? The Spirit of God. God, open my eyes. God, show me Your treasures. God, open my eyes to see the glory of God in Your Word. Help me to see and help me to understand. Let me see more of this glorious Word. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I think every one of us here in this room tonight agree with the psalmist that You are righteous and Your Word is righteous. And we would all agree, I'm sure, that Your Word is faithful and pure and profound and unchanging, delightful. Help us to have a passion, a zeal for the Word of God when it is ignored, when it is forgotten, when it is flippantly handled, when it is not properly revered and not properly divided. God, help us to have a passion for Your Word, because we believe that it is righteous and we believe that it is true and that it is pure. and help us to ask and help us to pray and help us to plead with you to give us more understanding so that we shall live a glorious life for you. Forgive us where we have chose other things instead of your word. To our own neglect, we have neglected the word. But help us to see the value, the benefit of your word in our lives as believers. In Christ's name and for Jesus' sake we pray. Amen.